the corner of my eyes, I saw this creature, which was over 6 foot tall, with feathers. It just looked like a giant bird, but yet a man. And it was standing with its shoulders and its neck down like this. I just couldn't imagine what I was seeing and panicked. And when I tried to run, I couldn't.
Hey, everybody, this is Moth Boy Mike.
This is Moth Boy Matt.
And this is Jacob, decorated and dressed up for Halloween as Moth Boy Jake.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. Can't you see the Halloween costume?
Yeah, that's a good outfit. Right? That's a good one.
I was like a freaking idiot. That's
very, very spooky. And this is Moth Boy's podcast, a spooky podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown.
The unknown.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I was thinking about a joke in my head.
This is perfect. The unknown.
The unknown. I was thinking of a funny joke someone told me. Sorry.
Yeah, that happens.
The unknown.
Can you tell us the joke?
Yeah. Like.
No, I don't want to.
No.
Our podcasting career, that's the joke.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So this is the last episode of our spooktacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long, strange trip, everybody. You know,
yeah, I but love these here. Episodes. Season.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, what have you been up to lately? What's been going on? How was your Halloween?
As you all know, I was in Italy.
Okay, how was that?
honestly, I just did Mario impressions and I got away with it the whole time.
Okay.
I did.
You didn't get arrested?
No, I did. It's a me, Mario. And I was like, I called everyone Mario or Luigi. I was like, hey, Luigi, it's a me, Mario.
And now, Matt, question. Did you pretend to hop out of a green pipe with, a hoo-hoo moment? Okay.
I was just punching like poles on the street and cops were just like having a blast with me. People were like, you don't even seem like you're American. You act like one of us.
Did you celebrate the Italian Halloween tradition? Red Sauce Day?
Yeah, Red Sauce Day.
It's always the week before Halloween. They little boys and girls of all ages can go trick-or-treating, but instead of getting treats
they get
on every odd numbered street. They get rigatoni, spaghetti, and different pastas. And then on the even number addresses, they get the sauces.
That's perfect.
Red sauce. And then when you're done, you go to the final house.
Yeah.
And at the final house, you get your meatballs.
That's
you give a bag full of pasta, various sauces, and you close it out. It's the red sauce day. It's a classic Italian tradition.
It's funny because I know
my girlfriend's Italian, so I know it's real.
I'm allowed to say it.
So when I go,
she's Italian.
Italy was actually filled with people that looked like Mario and Luigi, and that was it. It was just mustachioed people.
Wow.
With red and green outfits.
So you were correct in everything.
Yeah. I always thought Italy was supposed to look like Mario, and guess what? I was right.
It is. Wow. Okay, so that was your trip. So tomorrow is Halloween. What are you doing for Halloween?
I don't know. I'm hoping. I don't have anything planned. I'm a curmudgeon.
That's good. That's a good answer. Okay, what about you, Jake? What's going on in your life? What are you doing for Halloween?
Oh, you know, my life's been good. Still haven't got on Delilah.
Yep.
Very jealous that Matt got to experience the Red Sauce Day. Mm-hmm. It's always a dream of mine. So if any kids are coming to my house trick-or-treating, I got a big thing of ragu. I got some rotini. And I will dump some spaghetti and sauce into your bag and ruin all your treats. So maybe do not come to my house on Halloween.
That sounds like a blast.
Yes. There's nothing tastier than like a Kit Kat that's covered in like cheap marinara.
Prego. Oh, that's good. That's great.
Have you ever heard of zucchini noodles? They're zoodles.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I can't do them.
I do. I participate in hoodles.
Hoodles.
It's where you get like a Hershey King size bar.
Okay.
You grind it up into noodle form. Put some marinara. And then you put a little marinara, get a little extra sugar because that's what really brings the taste. Hoodles. And then
my favorite food. Hoodles.
It's very tasty, but you can't eat more than 2 or 3 pounds a person a day. But
right.
I highly recommend it. It's a Halloween right. tradition here at my house.
Oh yeah, what are you doing for Halloween, Jake?
Hoodles.
Okay, that's it. I mean, okay.
You know what's funny is that I ordered a very tasty plate of hoodles while I was in Italy.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Do they have a restaurant? Is they have a restaurant like Hooters, but it's like hoodles? Is that what it?
Yeah,
like,
and it's just it's oddly shaped Italian men serving you chocolate noodles.
That's perfect.
This hoodle goes good with the gabagool.
The gabagool. That's awesome. So what do you do? So that's what you're doing for Halloween, Jake.
I'm eating hoodles. I'm gonna watch some scary movies, but I'll tell you which ones I will at the end of the episode.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But just chocolate noodles. Maybe if I'm crazy this year, I'll try Reese's noodles.
Okay. Ooh, nice.
That's a good
might
one.
Be good.
Yeah. That pairs really nice with a red wine.
Rudolph? Yes.
With a red wine. Nice.
My red wine, it's just a buzz ball, and you dump the buzz ball in, and then you mix it with like a quart of Hawaiian punch. That's the finest red wine.
I mentioned that John Cleese show, and it was fantastic. I mentioned that in the first Spooktacular. It was a good show. Hilarious. He's wonderful. So that was a good show. Me and my family went to Point Pleasant this past weekend on Saturday. We went to Point Pleasant. It's kind of becoming a tradition with us to go to Point Pleasant and go trick-or-treating there and just, you know, do some Mothman stuff and go hang out with what we like to call Uncle Mothman.
That's cool.
So we did that, and it was nice.
I guess that's typical uncle behavior, just to have your ass out in front
of really
everybody.
Is. And your abs.
Very uncle behavior. Look at the six-pack!
But other than that, everything's good. I love Halloween Spooktacular. So, and we got a pretty cool episode, I think, today.
Yeah, Mike, what are you doing this episode on?
So, I think it was last year's, Jake, correct me if I'm wrong. Last year we read the Telltale. Yeah, 2 years ago.
It was sometime.
Yeah, a year or two ago for the Spooktacular, I read my favorite stories out of the Telltale Lilac Bush by Ruth Ann Music, who was a professor at Fairmont State University here in West Virginia, and she was a folklorist, and she wrote some books, and she has some really cool spooky old school ghost stories in them. So last year I read the Telltale Lilac Bush, some of the stories from that. And this year I'm going to read some from her other book, Coffin Hollow and Other Ghost Tales. So I thought we would...
Coffin Hollow is when you're choking on those spaghetti noodles and you're coughing very hollow.
Dude.
Hoodle. Exactly. Hoodle.
Yep.
Jay-Z's going to sue us.
Yeah. I just imagine somebody doing that before they make a basketball shot.
Hoodle.
It's like Kobe, it's Hoodle.
Instead of calling out Kobe, you do hoodles.
But like it's the George Foreman grill, but Jay-Z, instead of having the Hova, he has the hoodle maker.
Right. Right.
Hova's hoodle maker.
All right. So we're going to read. I have some stories, some of my favorite stories picked out from the book. So I figured we can just.
And are these real, all real, right?
I think it's a mix of folklore and like, you know, just spooky West Virginia.
All real.
Appalachia. Yes, all real. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. So we're going to start off this episode with a story called The Jailer's Dog. So many years ago, in the town of Brownsville, Pennsylvania, there was a small jail run by a very friendly and just sheriff. Sheriff Davis.
Oh, this is fiction.
Already. <Yeah. laughs> Sheriff Davis and his big dog were usually the sole occupants of the jail. But on one particular night, a boy was brought in who had got drunk and destroyed property at one of the local bars. Sheriff Davis locked him up in a cell and proceeded to doze off in his bed. I guess sheriffs slept in the jail cells or the jailhouses.
It's very, very Andy Griffith. Okay.
It is very Andy, yes. His faithful dog, Rusty, lay at his feet. In the middle of the night, the sheriff was awakened by the barking of his dog. He jumped to...
Oh, oh, oh.
He jumped to his feet and saw the darting figure of the boy dashing out of the door of the jail. Without thinking, he grabbed his gun and fired over the boy's head.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He really needed to shoot at him. He really did something that bad. The bullet was defective, as often was the case in those days, and instead of following a true course, it dropped, hitting the boy in the base of the skull and killing him instantly.
Well, yeah. I got dark quickly.
It got dark.
That's end story. That was
no, that's not. That's not.
That's
it.
A Halloween spooktacular. That's
it, people. Sheriff Davis was never the same after that. Although still running a very good jail, he was no longer kindly toward fellow humans or to his old dog, Rusty, whom he had loved so dearly. Now the big dog no longer slept at his feet, but spent the cold nights tied to a pole in the back of the jail.
Mm. Why? What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Because he hates his life now, dude. Davis was also known to take his problems out on Rusty by kicking and mistreating him.
Oh, this guy's nothing but a big old piece of gabagool. Come on.
The dog had grown unfriendly towards his master, who no longer fed him. The neighbors who with whom Rusty was still friendly now provided his food. But whenever Davis appeared, the dog immediately flew into a mad fit of rage, snarling and snapping viciously until the man beat him into quietness.
Wow, this is a great story, Mike. This
one
is
day,
a great uplifting story.
Well, it's Halloween, bro. It doesn't got to be uplifting. It's got to be, you know, some violence involved.
I want to hear a ghost story, not as some alcoholic beating his dog.
God, one
Italy,
day,
Italy was the worst thing to ever happen to
you. Yeah, it really is. No, it's really the worst.
You really so picked bad. That accent up, though.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's good, though, right?
So one day, Rusty gnawed through his rope and ran away to one of the houses nearby, only to be dragged home by Davis, who again proceeded to beat him into submission. This time, Rusty no longer stirred. The next day, he was buried by the neighborhood children.
Wait, so he died?
Yes. He beat him until he died.
The dog?
Sorry. Yep, he beat the shit out of him until he did.
So the
he
first
unalived.
Rule is, yep. In movies, you never kill the yep. dog. When you kill the dog, yep. It's going to be a bad movie.
It's
a bad
yep,
story.
Here we go.
Sorry, Ruth Ann Music, you fucked up on this one.
So the next day, he was buried by the neighborhood children, who loved him and gave him the only kindness he knew. Davis grew worse and turned into bottle drinking to excess. He lost his job as sheriff and stayed around the jail only to keep the place clean. He was thought to be crazy, for often in his drunken rage, he would yell, scream, threaten, and plead for Rusty to stop following him and haunting him. He often heard snarling and footsteps behind him, although nothing could be observed by anyone else. One night, he was drunker than usual. He flew past the startled new sheriff and out the door, yelling at a non-existent foe. He was found the next day, lying beside the post to which Rusty used to be tied, with his throat completely ripped out.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Score one for the good guys.
Yeah. About the grounds were the footprints of a large dog. Whoa. The sheriff had heard the howling of a dog or wolf the preceding night, but had thought little about it. No dogs or wolves were ever found in the area. Wolves were seldom seen, and there were no dogs, that is, dogs large enough to do the damage which had been done, except Rusty. So that's the first one.
Wow, good.
So yep. what story had a better throat rip? That one you just read me or mm-hmm. Roadhouse?
I'm thinking Roadhouse because you could see it. Yeah. I mean, that's All right, next story, boys.
Sorry. It's a good story, but not Roadhouse level.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. This one's called Revenge of an Oil Worker.
Of the Nerds.
In the early 1900s, the oil fields around Smithfield were booming and men of all types gathered there to work at the oil wells. While pitching hay one day, the son of a farmer fell on his pitchfork and was killed. A worker from one of... That's not funny,
that dude's
Matt.
Goofy.
Get
that
real.
Dude's straight goofy.
Dude. A worker from one of the oil derricks came up upon the boy, pulled the pitchfork out of his chest, and was standing over him with the pitchfork in his hand when four men came along and saw him. Not knowing what had happened, they accused the oil worker of murdering the boy. They had had a few drinks, and since they were a hot-headed group and good friends of the boy's father, they decided to take justice into their own hands.
Nice.
That's how society should be, baby.
Yeah.
Throat rips.
One of the men got a rope and threw...
We want throat rips.
One of the men got a rope and threw it over the limb of a nearby tree, while the other dragged the protesting innocent oil worker over to the tree. They slipped the noose over the man's head and around his neck, and asked him if there were any last words he wished to speak. He spit in their faces and said that he would see to it that they would all die in the same way he did within 13 days.
Whoa. 13 days, 13 throat rips.
Yep. They then hurriedly finished the hanging. And decided that one of them would take the body and bury it. Jones was the unlucky one, and when the others
Lamu Jones
was the unlucky one, and when the others left he loaded the body onto his wagon and started for the woods. Mm-hmm. Along this road was a steep embankment about 20 feet high. Somehow Jones' horse turned the wagon over, flipping Jones out and down over the hill, where his neck was caught by two branches of a tree, and he was killed.
Whoa, that's one down. And it was neck trauma.
Yeah, another one. When his body was found, there wasn't much thought of the incident, nor was the body of the oil worker found. Yep. 3 days afterward, a second of the four men was found hanging from the hay mow of his barn. I'm guessing that's where the hay is kept. He was hanging from the barn where he had seemingly tripped on a clean floor and had fallen onto a rope he had used to haul things up into the loft. So he accidentally hung himself. So second one gone.
One's a coincidence. Second's starting to get a little suspicious that this oil man's premonition might have came true.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's continue. I don't know.
The other two men were getting jittery and began to suspect that the oil worker's prediction was coming true and to wonder who would be the next. They didn't have to wait long to find out, because the third man was found hanging by the neck, two of the steel cross pipes of an oil derrick 9 days after the last accident. So he was hanging from, this dude was hanging from steel cross pieces of an oil derrick.
So this ghost is getting downright like,
yeah,
getting down and dirty,
leaving his mark. He's like, if you're dumb enough not to think it was me, here's some oil things.
Yes.
You're next, mother fricker.
I'm doing this shit. Yeah. So the next night, which if you have counted correctly, makes 13 days from the hanging of the oil worker, the last of the four men was found hanging from a rafter in his kitchen where he had committed suicide for an unknown reason. It may have been coincidence, but all four men died just as the innocent oil worker said they would.
Okay. That was a disturbing story.
Disturbing. A lot of hanging involved in that story. You know?
Yeah, a lot of hanging.
I like to hang. You guys know I like to hang.
You're a hanger for sure.
I'm a hanger for sure. But I don't like to be hung, you know? Yeah, but that guy also killed dogs, probably. Different guy, right?
Everybody's killed.
Different guy.
Any bad guy in these stories probably killed dogs. Let's just assume it. You know?
But if I was the ghost doing my vengeance, I would say 13 days.
Yeah.
And then I would let the last person live to 14 or 15 days.
Just enough time
for them to be like, oh, see, I'm fine. And then boom, throat rip.
Gotcha. Okay. So this story is called The Miner's Wife. One night, a miner became ill and left work early to go home. When he arrived, he walked straight to the bedroom to arouse his wife to fix something for his illness.
Did you say arouse?
I did, yeah. That's like...
Well, he'd like take his shirt off and like sort of rub his nipples. He's like...
Isn't it a rose?
Bow, bow, chicka, bow, wow. As he entered the room, he found his wife there with another man. Oh, we're getting into some... Okay. The enraged miner grabbed the man and gave him a thorough beating. Nice. After throwing him out of the house, he returned to his wife for an explanation. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's there to be explained? She was having sex with that dude.
I had glaucoma and I thought it was you.
Yeah, exactly. An argument followed, and the wife laughed at him, said she wanted a divorce. Shame mounted upon shame, and the miner returned to work, forgetting his illness. So he was sick, saw his wife cheating, and then forgot about his illness. When he got back, he told his friends what had happened and swore revenge. Still angry, he began working carelessly. An hour or so later, when a coal car was coming down the tracks, the miner fainted and fell in front of it. The other men did not notice until it was too late, and the car ran over him, crushing his head and legs. At the funeral...
Just the head and legs. I think the whole body would be destroyed.
It got messed up. So at the funeral, the miners remembered that the dead man had said that if anything ever happened to him, he would return to get revenge upon his wife. The men told his widow, but she just laughed, saying that she was going to marry her lover and move far away from there. As it turned out, the man she was cheating with left town after the accident. She was now left by herself, heartbroken and very lonely. She was seen only when she went out to buy groceries. Then one dark and dreary night, exactly 1 year after the incident, a terrible thing happened. It was a little after 12 o'clock when her neighbors heard a scream from inside the widow's house. They quickly gathered outside the house and called, but no answer was heard. The men decided to break down the door to find out what had happened. When they got to the bedroom, the door was locked, and they broke it down to see what was wrong. The widow's body was lying across the bed, the face scratched beyond recognition. What caused this? No one was really sure. Could it really have been her husband who had come back for the revenge he swore that he would take?
Wow.
So this dude came back and scratched her face to death.
Yeah, that's what happened. He didn't cut his nails for a year. So
yeah. Right.
The ghost version of him had like 6-inch nails and was just going slink, 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 Edward Scissorhands style.
And just beyond recognition. That's my favorite part, is that they had to take it that far. They had to say, I couldn't even tell it was her. He scratched so deep and violently. So that's another one. So here we go. The farmhouse ghost.
Oh.
Another spooky one. My aunt went to visit some of her relatives. My auntie went to visit some of her relatives in St. Clair, Ohio, arriving there from West Virginia in the evening at about 7 o'clock. After having a late supper and chat with the family, she decided to go to bed because she was very tired. This happened at the turn of the century, and traveling such a distance at that time was more tiring than it would be today.
What, like 4 miles?
Right, exactly. It takes 4 days.
Jesus, it takes me that long to walk 4 miles. I'm out for a week.
She had been asleep for about 5 hours when she was suddenly awakened by a strange noise. She opened her eyes and looked around. The image of a man grasping a bloody club in his right hand was walking towards her. The next instant, he disappeared.
Spooky.
My auntie didn't scream for help, thinking that she was just dreaming because of her exhaustion. She closed her eyes and fell asleep once again. After supper the following evening, my family gathered by the fireplace for a quiet evening. My auntie's uncle, and I'm reading this, it doesn't say auntie at all. Just to let you guys know, I'm reading it as auntie. My auntie's uncle. My auntie's uncle, Harry, began to tell ghost stories. He told everyone that the house they were now sitting in was believed to be haunted. Everyone became interested, so he told them the story he knew. 15 years before, a family named Walker lived in the huge old farmhouse.
Wait, is this him telling the story?
He's about to tell the story.
Yeah, so it's a story within a story.
You should tell it in an old-timey voice. Well,
I'm not doing that. Thank you, though.
Well, Mike's so old, his normal voice is an old-timey voice.
Oh, no. I'm not that old. I'm only 52.
Back in my day.
Well.
One sentence in an old man's voice.
Wait, 15 years before, a family named Walker lived in the huge old farmhouse.
That old farmhouse yonder.
They were an eccentric family who never got along very well together. Mr. Walker had mental problems that no one knew about until one day he took a fit and clubbed his wife to death while she was sleeping. The murder occurred in the bedroom now being occupied by my auntie, and it was said that Mrs. Walker's ghost often returned to the scene of the murder he committed. One other family had lived in the house before my auntie's relatives moved in, and their older daughter claimed to have seen his ghost return. My auntie couldn't believe what she had heard. She had deliberately failed to mention what she had seen to anyone. Now she explained to the family that she had seen a mysterious apparition the night before. They told her that she was probably dreaming, but to this day, she sincerely believes she saw Mr. Walker's ghost at the old farmhouse.
That's a creepy story.
That's pretty good.
I was scared. I'm glad that it didn't end in death for once.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm glad our protagonist survived beginning to end.
Yeah, they were
okay.
She
just got spooked one night.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's nice, because there's been a lot of death in these other ones.
It's a good break. Really.
Yeah, that was nice, only one person being clubbed to death instead of multiple fatalities.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so this one's called The Hitchhiking Ghost of Buttermilk Hill.
That sounds tasty.
It does, doesn't it? I want to live there.
Yeah.
In the early 1900s, an old-time peddler traveled from Fairmont, West Virginia to Fairview with this heavy pack of goods on his back. Everyone liked him and seemed happy to have come, not only to display his wares, but also to report any news. The peddler was such a good, kind, and interesting man that people missed him when he stopped coming. It seemed as if he had disappeared. No one had heard or seen anything of him until finally his body was found stuck in a barrel, which had been rolled into the valley below Buttermilk Hill. On dark, dreary nights, people would stay away from this hill. They tried to pass over it before dark because it was said that when one came to the top of the hill, the peddler's ghost would ride with him in his buckboard wagon or buggy, or behind him on his horse, until he arrived at the first house at the foot of the hill. So Jack Toothman,
right. the town dentist,
who worked in the mines at Granttown, always rode a brown mare between the mines and his house at Monumental. He usually tried to cross the hill before dark, but one night he stopped at a bar in Granttown. There he started drinking and talking with some of his friends, and before he knew it, darkness had appeared. That night, Jack met the ghost of Buttermilk Hill. Sometime later, neighbors were awakened by a pounding at the door. When the husband Matt? Opened the door... Oh, yeah. Somebody
pounding,
get the pounding.
Pounding at the door, Matt?
Burp, burp, burp.
Okay.
That was good. There we go. Oh, yeah, I thought at first the impression sucked, but
right.
You nailed it.
So when the husband opened the door, he saw Jack standing on the porch. He was as white as a sheet and shaking all over, so frightened he could hardly talk. He swore that the ghost had jumped on his horse behind him, wrapped its cold arms around his waist, and ridden with him until he got to the bottom of the hill. He said he had fought all the way down the hill, but could not get it off until he reached the bottom. From that time on, he always made sure to get past the hill before dark. Hmm. So that ghost caught a ride. You know what I mean? So, well,
you know, also, it's just nice to have someone. So maybe he should kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the ghost that's just true. Wanted to be friends or needed yeah, that's some true. Love, you know?
Okay. So this one's called Dog Rock. Dog Rock. Yep. So Clem Robinson lived at the head of Robinson Hollow, which was named after him. He was a man with a very violent temper. It is said that when he became angry at something, he would beat it to death or tear it apart, no matter
Jesus,
what it might
Mike.
Be. So it
is
was
going to be another
his,
dog
his
story.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. So it was with one of his foxhounds.
I have a feeling he's going to kill the dog with a rock. I'm just gonna what, guess.
You're just
one
gonna
night.
Guess?
Clem was fox okay. hunting in Robinson Hollow. One night, Clem was fox hunting in Robinson Hollow, and one of his hounds scented a rabbit's trail and began to follow it. As the dog chased the rabbit, Clem became very angry. He tried to call the dog back, but it paid no attention to him. This enraged him. And when the dog did return to him, he was so angry that he picked up a log and beat the animal's head off.
Why was this called Dog Log?
Dog Log. It's perfect. It's perfect. He beat the animal's head off. After he had like, done this
I thought this was going to be a fun little spooky celebration.
No.
But
this is serious.
There's people being hung.
This is serious
rips,
murder. Yeah, this is serious murder stuff.
What the hell? This is like okay. a true horror film.
Now, let me reiterate what had just happened. He had beat the animal's head off. After he had done this to
with
the
a
dog.
Log.
So listen to this. So he beat the animal's head off. After he had done this to the dog, it ran and rolled down the hill into the creek. So the creek is like. So it was still living. So it ran off with
so
a beaten
sad.
Off face.
It's so sad, but it I'm is. Laughing because.
So the creek is lined on both sides by very steep and rocky hills. It has been told that at night, people have seen a headless dog running down one side of the hill, across the creek, and up to the other side of the hill. Clem also saw the headless ghost of his foxhound as he returned home one night. After seeing the ghost of his dog, he changed his ways and did not show such brutality towards his animals.
Positive ending. That had a nice ending. There was no death. We had nice...
Yes. But that dog had to take a pretty brutal beating to get there. You know what I mean?
So, I would have fucking no. ripped
he tried
that
to play. He
out.
Tried to play fetch with the headless dog, and then right. the dog just...
I would have swayzed like, oh, him crap. And just... Gaga!
Throat rip.
All right.
But see,
okay.
you know, I guess, you know, it's not a happy ending because, no. like...
It was still.
But I guess at least he learned his ways. Maybe he atoned for his sins.
Yes, he exactly. Okay. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
Okay. So this one's called. I have two more for y'all. This one's called The Seated Lady, a favorite tale of the old people in Jane Lou, West Virginia. Had its in the, everybody. If you'll notice if you've ever been to Flatwoods Monster, on the way to Flatwoods Monster through West Virginia, you'll see the sign for Jane Lou. So this story takes place in Jane Lou. A favorite tale of the old people in Jane Lou, West Virginia, had its setting in a long forgotten cemetery in this area. Among the gravestones, there had been a remarkable one of marble, a statue of a seated lady with outstretched hands. The woman for whom the statue had been erected had died of a broken heart when her fiancé married another woman. Years later, the young people of the community started a club. As new members joined the organization, an initiation was required. Each new member had to spend one night sitting in the statue's lap. So this is every small town. There's always these kind of little things.
Right, you know?
Yeah. Oh, behave. So all went well until one very dark, moonless night. At the appointed time, a young girl stole from her home and hastened to the cemetery. Yeah. There, she cautiously made her way through the tombstones to the seated lady. Trembling, she sat in the marble lap. Although she did not know it, this girl had more reason to be frightened than others. She happened to be a direct descendant of the traitorous fiancé. The citizens of this community did not sleep well that night. Something kept their nerves on edge. They did not know what they feared. The next morning, the young girl was discovered, still sitting in the statue's lap. She was dead. On her body were found marks as though she had been held in a superhuman clinch. Perhaps the seated lady had gained revenge.
Whoa.
That's spooky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's classic. That's small town Americana right there.
Yep. Okay, the last one. This one's called the Rose Bush. Many, many years ago, on the outskirts of Grafton, there lived a very rich family for those times by the name of the Alts. There were only three of them.
There were 100 heirs.
100, yeah.
100 heirs.
Mr. and Mrs. Jim Alts and their daughter Anna. They seemed to be blessed with everything except health for the daughter. Mr. and Mrs. Alts took her to every doctor far and near, but no cure could be found for the illness she had. One cold winter night in early December, the girl seemed to make a sudden recovery. She even got up out of bed and walked that night, and this was something she had never been able to do. But now the girl seemed to be a different person. She was in some kind of trance. As she got up from her bed, she walked to the door and went out to the new fallen snow. She walked down through the yard and out to a rose bush she had always admired from her window in the spring and summer. Suddenly, she collapsed beside it and died. With her hands resting near the base of the bush, from that time on, the rose bush bloomed the year round. Even in midwinter, you could see beautiful red roses peeping through the snow. Several years later, the Alt family moved from the house and decided to take the rose bush with them because it had been so dear to their daughter. They planted the bush in their new yard, but it failed to bloom that spring or summer. The Alts feared it had died. That very December, on the anniversary of their daughter's death, there was a light sifting snow that covered the ground. When Mr. and Mrs. Alts awoke the next morning, the rose bush had disappeared, and footprints led away from the spot where it had stood.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
The footprints led straight to the cemetery and stopped right in front of their daughter's grave. There, on the grave, stood the rose bush, its red roses looking more beautiful than ever.
That's pretty good. Cool one. I like that one. That's good.
The thing I like about old school ghost stories is there's a lot of violence. It's very like everybody dies in some kind of crazy way, and then a ghost appears, and then the story ends. That's kind of what happens.
Sometimes the ghost appears and murders.
Right.
Sometimes the ghost appears.
A lot of revenge.
Yeah.
A lot of like heartbreak, and that's why I like these stories. They have the old school feel, but then, you know, some people getting their throat ripped out, dogs getting their faces beat off. You got the typical Halloween stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. This is a wonderful.
Good.
We love that shit. That's very spooky. I hope you enjoy that spooktacular.
Yeah, that's spooktacular. Hell yeah.
That's folklore.
There's no real or fake for this. I mean,
No.
Let's just say it was real.
I think some of them were really disturbing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's say that. Yeah, let's say that,
Jake. I thought some of them were.
Which one do you think was the most disturbing? Up.
I don't know. I think Doglock was pretty disturbing.
Doglock was pretty fucked up, dude. It was.
Doglock was fucked up. And so was the Andy Griffith dog one, too. I didn't think with dogs. Like, I know that's fucked up, but like dogs getting massacred are more sad to me than like humans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you could have decapitated like the mistress, and I'd been like, oh, that's dark, but okay. Mm. But they decapitated the dog, and I'm like,
okay. So, boys, we got to do our movie recommendations.
Ones, double features.
Yeah.
Mike, you go first today.
Okay, I'll go first. So I have I want to do two directors, and I want to do a few movies from each director. And then I'm going to do candy for each director.
Okay,
so
this is Halloween, I allow it.
Okay, yeah, I'm breaking the rules. Okay. So old school, I'm going to go go check out George Romero movies. And some of my favorites, I think. My favorite movie by him is Martin. It's about a vampire. That's my favorite.
Martin Landau.
Martin. So the movie's called Martin. Check that one out. Watch Night of the Living Dead. Classic. You can't beat that.
And that's available anywhere because it's public domain. So
yes. It's,
you will have access. Even if you only have Tubi.
Yeah. They'll have
You'll have access.
And then my third one would have to be The Crazies. I'm a big fan of The Crazies. So check those out. And I guess Eat Some Werther's with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Old movies.
Yeah,
old
George Romero candy. Whenever I think about George Romero, I just think about old man. I don't know why, but
because he was always old looking when we were able to know like what is his.
Yeah. So like, eat some Werther's.
I have a photo of George Romero from the 80s. I'm like, that's not George Romero. He has those big. He should have those big glasses.
White ponytail. Yeah, like, yeah. So check those three out and eat some Werther's. Now I want to do a new school director that I'm a huge fan of, Ari Aster. He directed Hereditary. Check out Hereditary.
Boring.
No, bro.
We're gonna do like some chocolate with pecans for that or something.
Maybe that's true.
Brown,
yeah,
pecan brownies. That's right. And cake and-
So Hereditary, Midsummer, and Beau Is Afraid. Check those three out. Yeah, we'll do the we'll do some chocolate with pecans or something. Yeah, we'll do that. I like that. Yeah. So check those three out. And he's one of my favorite new directors. But yeah. Who's next?
I guess I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, why not? Matt looks like he's still ruffling his brain.
Yeah, he's thinking. He's thinking
stuff. Matt sort of seems like, I don't know, like
he's a little out of it.
Yeah. Sort of, okay. Sort of seems like he's in a trance a little.
Yeah, I just haven't been getting much sleep. I'm just
because you've been watching too many scary movies.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matt's been watching Hubie Halloween. Like he went to Italy and just watched Hubie Halloween.
It is a good
every
one.
Night.
It's fun. It's a fun one. Okay, anyways, so Jake. Yeah.
Mine, I will go first in my double bill.
Okay.
Killer Nerd.
Okay. Nice.
Starring Toby Radloff.
Yeah, that's a cult classic.
Yes. Roses are red, violets are placid. I mean violets are flaccid. You betrayed me, now enjoy this face full of acid. Neared.
Classic.
Neared. And
Jake.
I would pair
Jake,
it what?
Do you want to do four movies? Because I'm going to do four movies.
Okay, I guess I'll do four movies. And then I'll do Bride of the Killer Nerd.
Nice. Number two.
Each one's like 60 minutes long. They're both on a DVD. And I would go as Toby Radloff, the genuine nerd. He would say no to drugs, say yes to White Castle.
Okay.
So my little snack is I'm going to get those little microwaved White Castles. And I'm going to pound down half a dozen of those per movie.
Easy.
A whole dozen between them. But it's highly recommended. It's truly peak cinema.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite SOV horror movie. I know that's probably a stupid choice, but whatever. And since I'm going with four movies, we'll go Aliens. So we'll go with some 90s themed alien movies.
Nice.
Cool. The first one is Alien Abduction Incident in Lake County.
Okay.
It aired on UPN and it was like presented as like it was like a real like film from like a Thanksgiving dinner. You can find it on YouTube. Highly recommend it. It's pretty terrifying. And we'll take it back to Cryptid Bash. I'll go with Out There Halloween Megatape.
Nice.
because Mike got me a signed copy of it at Cryptid Bash, and that was pretty cool. And that has a great 90s UFO element that I don't want to spoil. So there you go.
Okay.
And with that, candy? I'm going to go Surge, because that's a very 90s drink.
Hell yeah.
And Pixie Sticks.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go with Gak, because when you were a kid, we always played with Gak, but you ate a little.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So a little Gak to eat as well.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Oh, and before you go, man, I want to do one more movie. I just thought about it. I watch this pretty much every Halloween. It's a movie called Lake Mungo.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It's a great, great ghost story. Spooky throughout. Has one single super effective jump scare towards the very end. And it's wild. So check that out if you like ghost stories. It's spooky. So yeah, sorry. I just wanted to throw that one up. Lake Mungo.
I'll go with the fifth movie now too. Yeah.
Halloween
Resurrection. Just because Busta Rhymes does kung fu in it.
Okay.
Exclusively just the Busta Rhymes scenes.
Yes.
If someone can make me a supercut of just the Busta Rhymes scenes in Halloween Resurrection, I think it'd be my favorite horror movie of all time.
Okay. Hell yeah. What do you got, Maddie?
All right. So I want to say my five Halloween horror movies are Mimic. Because that's just a great movie. Ooh. Guillermo del Toro did a remastered version of it. That's awesome.
So Mimic and a big bowl of pasta for Guillermo del Toro.
And a big bowl.
Yeah.
It's a mia, Guillermo del Toro. And then I would have to say it's like a psychological thriller, but very horrifying. Saint Maud. That's a newer movie. It came out in the last few years, but
religious horror.
It's like religious terror stuff. And then I would have to say Event Horizon.
Hell yeah,
that movie is so great, and it holds up so well.
Saint Maud, the blood and body of Christ. Okay.
Yep.
Right. So what I am going to do is for Mimic.
What are you pairing these?
Mimic, I will pair with, Jolly Ranchers.
Okay.
With Saint Maud, I will do those little vanilla wafer cookies.
Because they look like communion wafers.
Communion wafers, right.
Event Horizon.
That's brilliant. That's inspiring.
I will do Pop Rocks. And, let's see. 28 Days Later. Classic.
Matt's frozen.
Maddie? Matt?
And I'll have to say Gummy Bears. And the last movie, The Void. Which is like a newer Carpenter-esque style movie. If you dig on like practical effects and like makeup, body horror stuff, you'll dig on The Void. But yeah.
And we're going to eat with that.
Yeah, what are you going to eat with that?
Human flesh.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Matt,
nice.
You've been really like,
yeah, you've been out of it, dude.
Yeah.
You've been out of it, and like your fucking like computer's like freezing and making glitchy
sounds. I got no idea. Like, my internet has been crazy. I don't even know if it's the internet. It's just like the electricity in this fucking.
Well, yeah.
So I guess to close, do you want to do Werewolves of London? Say
wait.
What?
I think those deer spotters are back. Oh, God
damn. What are they doing?
Hey! Wait. That's not.
What's going on, Matt?
Matt, there's something behind you, Matt.
Matt, behind you. Behind you, Matt.
Behind you, Matt. Behind you.
Matt.
Behind you. Behind you.
Oh, man. What's going on? What the hell are those things, Jake?
Dude, Matt!
I don't know. Jake. Where am I going? Oh.